You can turn in your Bible, starting with at Philippians chapter 3. The title of this is Complete in Jesus. And we need that confidence that whatever we need, He can supply. We don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to use any of our talents, because Jesus is enough. I was introduced to a new word last week by my teacher, Anthony. He's got a lot of words that I don't have. And one of the words he explained to me was reductionism. Reductionism is the act of reducing. And in the terms of something written, it is reducing the written word to a place where we can understand it. It's to simplify something. Remember what you said a while ago? It's all about simplifying things. But I want to make you aware of a situation that's very real. Don't know if we think about it that much, but I think you guys need to know about this. A problem has been created. So many people in churches can't understand some of what is taught. And you know that. And let me caution each one of you about this. Don't ever make the statement, "Well, I can't really understand the Bible." And you'll see why I'm saying that when I get through with this. When I was teaching that God in the family class, I'd heard a lot of men say, "Well, there's no way you can understand a woman." And men make that statement frequently. And I came down to 1 Peter chapter 3 and about verse 7, where it said, "Men, dwell with your wives wisely." So you see, God would not command us to dwell with our wives wisely if we couldn't. So to make a statement that you can't understand your wife means that you won't accept God's help to understand her, and in essence, you're calling Him a liar. So what I'm trying to say, the statement in the sermon today is, you can understand the Bible. As much of the Bible as you need to understand and that God wants you to understand, you will understand it. It has nothing to do whatsoever with your intelligence or with your IQ, how smart you are, how much you study, or anything else. I've known some people that had studied the Bible almost all the time and weren't even born again. The Bible says there's no way they can understand any part of it, because without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you cannot understand the Bible, because one of its responsibilities is to teach you what the Bible says, teach you what Jesus says, to bring to your remembrance anything you've ever studied that you ever put in your brain and forgot about it temporarily. When it's needed, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your brain and say, "You remember what God said about this?" So to say I can't understand it means that you're in a way condemning yourself not to understand it. You can't do that. Because I think what we'll see today is that you can. I fear that many churches have lost the idea of what saved, born again, or Christian, those words really mean. in their attempts to create a greater number of people in their meetings, they have allowed unsaved folks to join. The Bible says folks without the Holy Spirit cannot understand the Scriptures. So in some churches, you've got people there who are not Christians to start with, which is against the definition of a church to start with. A church is a group of people who are born again. And if you've got people in that group who are not born again, they can't understand a word of the Bible. So then you've got another problem. You've got church leaders who are hearing people say, I can't understand the Bible, so they start changing the Bible to try to make it where people can understand it. And you see, that's impossible. You can't do that. They've attempted to simplify Scripture to have people understand, to the point of taking Jesus' points away from Scripture or changing the interpretation of the Scripture altogether. As people are taught incorrectly, more revert to fleshly methods of trying to understand the Scriptures. One way supports the other. In other words, when you see this and you do this to try to accomplish this, it creates more of this. And so what we've done in our attempts, I'm afraid, to try to make more people understand Scriptures, we've made it worse than it was. The point is, folks, there is only one remedy for understanding Scripture. Only one. And that's Jesus Christ and salvation. The only requirement you have for understanding Scripture is to be a Christian. And when you are, everything you need to know, you will know. And we'll see that God takes the responsibility for that. Now here's the thing. You know that as you're saved, you are given a spiritual gift. Everybody has one, at least one. And sometimes gifts are added to those that you already have. Sometimes there are temporary gifts for a temporary situation. We've seen that happen with Sunday school teachers, with people who play pianos, with the music and whatever. We've seen that over and over. Or I have, and I think you have too. This is Satan's way to distract us away from glorifying God and doing the very thing that glorifies God, and to discredit God and our trust in Him. It's a kind of a maybe proof of what I'm saying, because of the few people that I have that I greatly look up to because of their ability to study and research Scripture, and their desire to try to know so much more because they have the gift of teaching. It's interesting to note that as I've talked to those people in the last few weeks or months, every one of them are taking everything that they know and have been taught by their churches as a child and putting it back against the Bible to see which one of those truths are actually true. God has led each one of us. I'm in it myself. Because I've been taught so many things in a way that was made easier for some people to understand, and in the process of teaching me that, they have actually taken the meat out of the book. And we've missed the whole point. And there's a lot of things that when we stand here and preach, there'll be some people that say, no, that's not the way I believe it. And I'm telling them what the Bible says. So you see, it is an issue. It is a problem. And we need to be aware of it. I've heard it said that if Jesus came back and walked the roads like he did 2,000 years ago and stepped into one of our modern day churches, he might not even be able to figure out where he was. And that is the truth, people. We have become so distracted by doing all these other things to satisfy the flesh. Creature comforts, if you will. Instead of those things, the eating, the fellowship, the prayers, and the teaching, and the singing, the things that went on in the church of Acts, what we do here today, those very things. I want you to look at something in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul's talking here in his letter to the church at Philippi, and he says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." What that means is I am not at the place where I don't need more teaching. In other words, I'm not there yet, Paul says. And Paul wrote everything in the book just about to teach us how to act in church. But he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." So I don't have everything that God wants me to have yet, he said. "But this one thing I do." Now, if Paul is doing one thing, do you think it might be a good recommendation for us to do that? But he said, "The one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You remember the Lord's Prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." God is trying to teach us all the way through the Bible that yesterday's gone. What you did yesterday is gone. Forgetting those things which are behind us. How many people do you know that let things of the past absolutely ruin today? They're no good for God today because they can't get their mind off of what's been in their past. I'll share this with you. My friend Wiley was a rough old cowboy that died this week, Thursday morning. And I talked to him, I think, Monday. His cousin called me and told me, said, "You need to call him now. He's very low." And I called him. And he just tried to eat in the hospital room, and he spilled it all over himself. He said, "I can't live like this, Joe." He said, "I can't even feed myself. I can't get up and walk to the bathroom, and I can't live this way. And it has already come to my attention that it is time for me to die. I know that. But I don't want to go to hell." The nurses tried to get him off the phone. We stayed on the phone an hour. The thing that was wrong with Wiley, the thing that was troubling Wiley, I talked to him enough to know that he was born again. But he couldn't get off his mind all the bad things he had done in the past. Wiley did not understand grace. And his cousin told me, says, she's just like his sister. And she said, "He's hanging on, and I don't know what's going on, but I think he thinks he's supposed to die, but he won't let himself die." And when I explained to him that when you ask forgiveness of sins, which he had done, he's already told me he's done it. He said he slipped and used the Lord's name in vain 2 months ago, and he had prayed almost every day since then that God would forgive him for that. I said, "Wiley, the first time you prayed, God forgave you." "Not only that, he forgot it." He said, "But I can't forget it." I said, "No, we don't have God's power to forget those things, but he does, and he's forgotten what you've done. You're born again. Believe what I'm telling you. You've told me too much. I know you are. Go ahead and allow yourself to go. You're going to be in heaven." And he died 3 days later. This is what Paul's talking about here. forgetting those things that are behind. God's forgotten it. He's forgiven you for it. Don't you understand forgiveness? That's what we're all about as Christians, is being forgiven for our sins. Quit thinking about those things. And as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I've got plans. God's got things for me to do. I need to do this. I need to do this for this person. I need to do that for that person. I need to get my affairs in order. I need to simplify my life. I need you fill in the blanks, whatever it is. But you look ahead. You don't look back. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I'm looking to be like Jesus. And that's what I'm going after. You remember where Jesus said that anybody that takes his hands and puts on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven? You know why? Have anybody of y'all ever done any plowing? Probably. I know a couple of you done it with a mule, one or two done it with a small automobile. But you can't look back and plow. If you look back and plow, when you get to the other end of the row and look where you look back, there's always a crook in the row. Always. I've done it myself. You can't look back. You got to look straight ahead. You can't even look left and right. You got better look right straight ahead, lay in that first row. And then you can go with the rest of the rows. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Don't look back. He's trying to be like Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. That word perfect means mature. Are you a mature Christian? Do you understand the things of the Lord and the Word? As many as be perfect, be thus minded. What minded? Like me. Looking ahead, looking forward. Don't look back, looking ahead, trying to be like Jesus as much as we can. Let that be our goal. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, you don't think like that, God shall reveal even this unto you. That word reveal means uncover. God will uncover it. It's in the book. And if you read it, if you hear it, He'll uncover that thing that's hidden to you that you don't understand, and you will understand it. So if you're saved, you need to be pressing forward like Paul does. Not looking back. Not worrying about what you've done yesterday even. Much less what you did 10 years ago. God's forgotten it. He's not holding it against you. Grace. God gave it to us knowing that we were going to be bad. He gave us salvation knowing we can't do it. He gave us salvation knowing we're sinners. And He still did it because He loved us. Please understand that. What you don't know, God will cover. The rest, He'll cover it. If you're not a preacher, you don't have to know as much Bible as I do. I've had people tell me, I don't know as much Bible as you do. That ain't got nothing to do with anything. If you don't have to teach, you don't have to know all this stuff. You need to know some of it or a lot of it, but you don't need to know as much as a teacher would or an evangelist. Verse 16 said, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, what you have already learned about God, let us walk by the same rule. Walk by. What you've learned to do that God wants you to do, then do it. Let us mind the same things as we learn as a group. Let us all be concern about the same things, being like Jesus. That's what Paul said he was trying to do. And he's not going to let those things that happened to him. Paul was a mean man, folks. I mean, he killed people because they were Christian. What did he have to overcome? But he said, don't look back, look forward. And think about the same thing, being like Jesus. We don't have to resort to the flesh and deceive what you need and decide what you need to know. God decides that. He decides what you need to know and when you need it. He'll give it to you before you need it. In my place where I stand and explain things to people, I understand that. People have said, you need to preach this. No, I can't. I don't understand it. When I understand it, then I'll share it with you. But if God doesn't make me understand it, I'm not going to try to do it with my own little old brain. It ain't no bigger than that. God decides what you need to know and when you need to know it and how He's going to teach you. He takes that responsibility with each one of us. So don't ever say, I can't understand the Bible. You understand what part of it God says you need to understand already, right now. What you have already attained, you keep it and you live by it every day, and then God adds more as He decides what that more needs to be. John 3:27 said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You cannot understand Scripture by any outfit making it any easier to understand, by making it any simpler. Because Scripture says that Paul says he worries that we might miss the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. It's simple to start with. It's as simple as it needs to be. But the only thing about it, you got to have spiritual ears to hear it and understand it, and God's got to give you those spiritual ears. No man can receive anything spiritually unless it comes from heaven. You can't study it with your big brain and come up with anything. That's not how it works. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13. We're back here at the place where Jesus is talking about why He spoke in parables, why He taught in parables. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus said, I speak in parables because there's some people out there that are not supposed to understand. And that's the reason I teach like I'm teaching. They hear what I'm saying, but they don't understand it. They see what I'm saying, they still don't understand it. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Hear, which saith, by hearing shall hear, she shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. He said, Isaiah predicted way back yonder, that there were going to be people in the day when Jesus came, and God decided to live in people and put His Spirit in them like we are living now in this age. That there would be those that would see and not, they'd hear and not understand, and see and not understand. In verse 15, he gives us a reason. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus knew there were people who would not understand. Those people are those people who do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not have Jesus. They're not Christians. They're not saved. They're not born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit, and there's no way for them to understand the Bible. And in your judgment, in your assessment of people around you, you need to be aware, if you're around them at any length of time, on whether or not they're saved. You can pretty well tell, most times, by the way they talk. And he said they're not supposed to understand. So what would you do with the Bible? How many ways would you translate it? I work out of the King James. I always have. It was written in 1610, 1615, whatever. Using old King James English. And I understand it better than I do what you're saying today. That's mine. Some other people are not like that at all. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. God is the one that makes you understand Scripture. Not how smart you are. But he says the reason they don't understand is because they've closed their eyes. And they're putting their hands over their ears so they won't hear. I say this, when we say and say to ourselves, I'm not going to listen to that. But wait a minute, you don't understand. It's in the Bible. No, I'm not going to listen to that. But it's in. How do you deal with it? It's in the Bible. You put yourself in a real bad place when you do that. But he says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's talking to people who understand what he's saying. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh, they heard them. They heard the words being said. They just didn't perceive them. They didn't understand it. So here's the problem. I'm not talking about visitors. We have people who have been put on rolls of churches but for their zeal to try to increase the number of people at their meetings to the extent that in a lot of churches, and several I've been in had a pretty good chunk of people there who weren't Christians. It was obvious they weren't. So if they're not Christians, as I understand it, they're under the control of Satan. But they're members, which we don't have here, because they got voting rights. And so you got Satan on one side of the room voting for something and the Christians on the other side of the room voting for something. How can you do that? He knew they wasn't supposed to understand, and Jesus took care of that. He taught in such a way where they wouldn't. He knew how. He did. To water down Scripture is not our job. We tell it like it is and leave it to God and through the work of the Holy Spirit to make people understand it. It only plays into the plan of Satan to rob God of His glory, and it compromises God's plan to teach us to be like Jesus. If we're not understanding Scripture properly, how in the world could we ever be like Jesus Christ? In God's war with Satan, and please understand, I think people nowadays, we were talking about it this morning, my folks came through hard times. They came through part of World War I, the Depression. They came through World War II. Then they had the Korean War. It's when a time when men were called to go to war and the women had to put on men's clothes and go to work outside the home. They had hard times. And they had dead people all around them. They had kids still dying. My grandmother, you ask her, how many children did you have, Miss Clark? And she'd say, 7 living. The old folks did that because all of them had miscarriages. And a lot of kids died before they ever got around here. I've learned that in Judy and I was visiting cemeteries around here. We don't have any longer lifespan than they had 150 years ago. They keep telling you we have, but they don't. The average lifespan has increased 20 years in the last 150 years. I don't believe it, and I'll tell you why. It's an average. It's an average of how many people in the population live to be how old. And when you go around the cemeteries in this area right here, and we've visited 20 of them, in the old days, there's always a bunch of dead children. There's always little graves in those old cemeteries. We're not living then. But on the other hand, there's people that died 150 years ago in their 90s and high 80s, just like we're doing now. It's not that people are living any longer. It's that so many of the children are not dying to bring the average down like they said it was. That's what's going on. Folks lived to be 80 and 90 back then. So we're in a battle today. And folks that have been around a while that understand how folks used to have to go through all they went through, it made a bunch of people who were strong and hard and stood for what they believed and would say it. Now everybody's scared to say anything, afraid they'll offend somebody for one thing, or hurt somebody's feelings for another. And the only thing that tears me up is that parents are afraid they'll offend their children. That thought never came to my daddy's mind. I know it didn't. Or he'd tear you up for doing anything you did that he had told you you better not do. He never worried about offending me. So what we have got a church in the last 70 years, 75 years, who has been made up of people who weren't Christians to start with, and then they worked against the Christians in what they were trying to do to make them compromise and to not say anything until we have gotten to a place to where we got a bunch of people who cannot stand up for anything. And as far as the word goes, there are churches who have tried to thin the word down to where they could try to make people who God says are not going to understand the word to understand it. And what they've done, they've hurt everybody that listens to their word because they're not saying anything. They have taken the core out of the word. The points that Jesus wanted us to make, people are not getting. Let me say this. I told somebody this the other day, and they looked at me like I was strange or something, because we've heard about coming back on white horses with Jesus to fight the battle of Armageddon. People, we're not going to fight that battle. We're going to be in the army on white horses behind Jesus. But Jesus is going to destroy his enemies in the world, in the battle of Armageddon, with the sword out of his mouth. He's going to speak, and they're going to die to the extent that buzzards are coming from all over the world to feast on the dead bodies, and the blood is going to run in the valleys as high as a bit on the horse's mouth. But we're not going to do that. The only weapon we ever get to carry in this great war that Jesus is having with Satan is the Scriptures. It's the Bible. That's what you got. That's what your job is to keep punching the Bible to people. We don't have to come up with any new ideas that only glorify us. God has been doing his thing for thousands of years, and it works. Just like these old hymns we sing, they still work. You haven't got to write a new song. They've been working, some of them, for 200 or 300 years. And my Bible tells me and confirms to me that all I need to be anything that Jesus wants me to be is Jesus himself. When I turn myself over to him, he takes full responsibility for me. And all I've got to do is try to keep him getting in his way. That's all. That's all. Just be compliant. If Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. If Jesus tells you to do something you've been doing another way, change your ways. Try to work with him, and he'll give you every single thing you need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for sending Jesus that we might be complete in him and have him doing for us what he knows to do. Teach us. Teach us. And don't let us think that we're unteachable, because we are. All we need is your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.